Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 16 of the Full Metal Lockdown podcast. As always, I'm your host, Tom Roberts, and this week we have Dan McDougall of the legendary Frankenbach on the show. That's right, it was a last minute interview, and by chance, he was able to do it, as was I, and it all worked out. But it's a very epic interview, but before we get to that, what do you say we kick off the show?
This is Dan from Frankenbach. You're listening to the Full Metal Rockdown Podcast, presented by Tom Roberts. All metal and mostly Aussie.
Thank you, everyone, for sticking around for episode 16 of the Full Metal Lockdown podcast. Like I said in the intro, on today's show, we have Dan McDougall of Frankenbach. But before that, I wanted to apologize for not having a show last week. I was supposed to. I had a live interview with my sister from Orange lined up for the show. I had it all done, all ready to go, and my SD card and my Zoom H4n corrupted. Now, this really shits me off because it happened in my wife's digital camera as well. And it happened in my Zoom H4n, and it seems to be a regular thing with SD cards. So I fucking am really sick of them. It's a flaw that happens in the card, so I try and leave it in there as much as possible. I obviously take the audio off it when I need to, but any other time it just stays in there. My new one does, because my old one, I used to take it out and put it in the case and protect it, because that's what I thought it needed. Looked at a bunch of stuff online, and it all said if you use the device a lot, leave it in the device. So that's what I do now. But yeah, apologies for there not being a show last week. Like I said, it was because of a technical fuck up, and yeah, it pissed me off pretty much. But yeah. That being said, while I was away in Orange visiting family. It's the only reason I go to Orange, because I don't really like it there very much. That being said, that's neither here nor there. That's just a personal choice. But I want to give a huge shout out to Utopia Records in Sydney. They posted a link to the Full Metal Lockdown Facebook page. They're huge supporters of the show. And yeah, thank you very much. If you're in Sydney and you haven't been there, go there. They have everything you could ever imagine. If they don't have it, they'll get it, pretty much. They're fucking amazing. Amazing. Sorry. I was watching Grown Ups the other day. Amazing. Yeah, they have in-store signings all the friggin' time. They have merch, like t-shirts. They have vinyls. They have CDs. They have everything you can imagine. And they've got a new store. Although I haven't been to the new store because I don't live in Sydney and I rarely get there. It's hard for me to get around very much. If you don't know, I am disabled. I either am in a wheelchair or on a walking frame, and my legs hurt a lot. Even walking from my room to my car, from my lounge room to my car, it just hurts unimaginably. So yeah, but I did go to the old store when I was able to. But yeah, if you're in Sydney, check them out. They're an awesome store. And yeah, big shout out and a big thank you for supporting the show, guys. That was awesome. But yeah, on the other hand, something not so awesome, like I said, it's very hard for me to walk around and very hard for me to get around. I don't have it as bad as some people because I can still get around and walk around. But that being said, today is my child-free day with my wife. She's at daycare. And today being Tuesday, we were at the shopping center doing a bit of shopping. And I was on the seats for most of it. And my wife was doing all the shopping. But we went downstairs to get in the car. And this white Toyota Camry parked there. And we looked at it. And it was a fully able, in a disabled spot, a fully able guy got out. And his fully able wife got out. And we looked across, we're like, shit, they don't have a permit. And they walked away before I could say anything. So we wrote a letter and left it on their windscreen. The opening two lines were, hello, fuckbag. You're a prick. You do know that this is a disabled parking spot, you cockhead. People, there were literally disabled parking, there was a wheelchair van that had to leave the complex because they took the last remaining disability spot. But after my wife the note underneath their wiper, we started leaving the complex. And they turned back up. They got the note, read the note, and left the car there. What a fuckbag. Like, seriously, guys? And like, it wasn't like there was no other parking spots even then. Like, go somewhere else, because that spot is for people who need them. But either way, there were like five other spots around the area. They just didn't want to park close to another car. So they took the larger disabled parking spot. Fucking. Oh, pissing me off a lot. I'm getting really angry just thinking about it. But yeah, that. Yeah. Words fail to describe how pissed off I am at people like that. But there's no excuse, there's no, oh, I'm just talking in for 5 minutes. No, you find your own fucking spot. That spot is for people who need them. There's no, oh, but, like, that person did it. No, fuck you. Don't follow in the footsteps of some scumbag who does that. Anyway, off that subject before I lose my temper. And yeah, it's time for the Full Metal Lockdown band, the Full Metal Lockdown podcast band of the week. And this week it goes to from Western Sydney, Australia. It goes to the boys from Foundry Road. From Western Sydney, Australia. Their genre is obviously metal. They formed in 2009. Their influences are Pantera, Metallica, Opeth, Soilwork, Lamb of God, Slipknot. Got such band interest. In other words, like the bands they listen to. Amidus, Lab 64, who are an awesome acoustic metal artist. He's retired now, but he's in a band called Frequency. And Jenny Defect. Either way, artists we like: Amidus, Lab 64, Ill Content, Dawn Heist, Abyssination. A big connection. Either way, yeah. Born of Chaos, Dead Life, and Jenny Defect. Yeah, if you want to contact them, contact at foundryroad.com. The website is www.foundryroad.com. Yeah, worth checking them out, guys. Then, like I said, the Full Metal Lockdown podcast band of the week, and that means they go into running for Full Metal Lockdown podcast band of the year. So, yeah, check them out. I'll chuck their stuff up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/FoundryRoad is their Facebook page, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/the Full Metal Lockdown. Oh, sorry, /Full Metal Lockdown. If you want to add me on Twitter at Tom_Roberts1989, or if you want to email us, fullmetallockdown@gmail.com. If you want your band to be considered for the Full Metal Lockdown podcast band of the week and go on the running for the Full Metal Lockdown podcast band of the year, hit us up on any one of those. Hit me up directly, I don't care. Either way, it's going down. So while I was in Orange, my wife and I got to have like a child-free date night. For any parent, you know how rare that is when you don't live around your family and you have a young daughter and she's your first. So yeah, we got a date night. We went to the movies and we saw Guardians of the Galaxy. That movie is fucking hilarious. It from the get-go, can I ever have you crying, depending who you are and if you cry at movies, or it can have you in hysterics, because the scene after that just had me in hysterics. I couldn't control myself. It's full of action, full of romance, full of laughter, comedy, full of drama. It's an all-round great movie. Even my wife liked it, and she fucking hates superhero movies. But, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. Dave Bautista from the WWE, he steals the movie pretty much. Oh, Chris Pratt is funny as fuck in it. But, yeah, he's Drax the Destroyer character. Takes everything super literally. So, yeah, it's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. I highly recommend it. It has literally 5 horns for me straight away. It's the greatest. No, it's better than The Avengers. It's the best Marvel movie to come out so far. Speaking of WWE and speaking of wrestlers, there's something I really want to try. Some of you may have heard of it. Some of you may not have, but I've recently got turned on to something called DDP Yoga, Diamond Dallas Page, the wrestler from like the 90s, and I think last decade as well. But he started a new yoga fitness that like apparently combines like yoga, traditional fitness, calisthenics, dynamic resistance, all this other stuff. The byline for it is, it ain't your mama's yoga. Pretty much means that it's not yoga per se, but it's a it uses some yoga poses, so he calls it yoga. But like, they've had disabled war veterans do this program and come away like almost back to full fitness, or back to full fitness. If anybody knows Gabriel Iglesias, he does it. Helped him lose all his weight and stopped him from literally dying. Jack the Snake Roberts helped him get over his demons and his addiction. Same with Scott Hall, the wrestlers from the 90s and 80s, if you remember the back that far. I'm surprised I do. But yeah, I really want to try it. I've been in contact with them, seeing if it's able for me to do it. But yeah, like this is no advertisement for it. I'm just expressing my interest in it and telling everybody that I want to do it. But yeah, if you're like me and you have troubles with your joints and you can't really do anything because high impact stuff hurts a lot, or you just physically can't do it, check it out, ddpyoga.com. They have multiple different packages, I believe. Yeah, check it out. And like I said, it isn't an advertisement for it. I'm not being paid to talk about it. I'm just expressing my interest in doing it. But that being said, I am offering advertising packages for Australian bands or Australian metal shows or tours. What you do is you send me your information and a song, and I'll make you an ad for your approval. And the cool thing is, I'll make the ad and you can keep the ad. So if you want to put it on like your EPK and send it to people, like, and make it go out to radio stations, you can. But if you don't like the ad at the same time, I won't put it on the air. It all is pending your approval. So hit me up on the Twitter. Yeah. Send me a tweet, if that's what you want to fucking call it. At Tom_Roberts1989. Or go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/... That's the one that points to the right at the top. Full Metal Lockdown. Or FullMetalLockdown@gmail.com. Once again, send us all your information and a song, and I'll advertise your band for free. By the way, a new stat just came out. We have around 800 listeners per week around the world. Around that, not guaranteed to get 800 a week every week, but that's around the number that we have. Mind you, like I said, everybody, that number was like 10, maybe 15 on a good week, until AJ Matter appeared on the show a few weeks ago, and I got a fuckload of subscribers. By the way, if you want to subscribe, go to iTunes, go to if you got an iPhone, download the podcast app. And you can subscribe to the show, downloads to your device each and every week for free. And the best way you can support my show is by going there and rating and reviewing it. That being said, I'm also looking for paid sponsors for the show, because the Zoom H4N isn't free, the microphone isn't free, the petrol that I need to go do a few interviews isn't free. Phone calls aren't free, the websites aren't free, podbean.com isn't free, and advertising the actual show isn't free, so I'm looking for sponsors. I've put a few fillers out there, a few people are interested, but if you have a business and you want to sponsor, you want to advertise your business or your non-metal band or event, hit me up on the email, fullmetallockdown@gmail.com, and I will get back to you with all the information you need. That being said, or you can hit me up on the Twitter at Tom_Roberts1989 with an email address, and I'll get to you as soon as possible, which will probably be very quick. That being said, Twitter is fucking great, isn't it? Like, because if you follow me on Twitter, that's how I got my interview with AJ Matter. I sent him a tweet, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. I sent him a message on Twitter, And I said, hey, will you be on my podcast? And he said, yes. And look what that turned into. But recently I did it again. I sent a tweet out to the American band Nonpoint. If you don't know who Nonpoint are, look up the song Blew It With a Name on it and you'll realize, oh yeah, that band. They're very, very fucking awesome. But yeah, they're interested in being on the show. So when I've emailed them, they confirmed that they are interested in doing the show. So when all the details are worked out, I will hear you up with all the details. But yeah, right now for this week we have Dan McDougall of Frankenbach on the show. So right now we're gonna get into the interview. For the next 40 minutes, we're going to have Dan and I in a little conversation that we had yesterday, today being Tuesday. Alrighty, right now on the line, I have a very cool interview. One of my one of the ones I've been looking forward to the most, I have Dan McDougall from Frankenbach on the line. How are you going, Dan?
I'm doing really well, mate. How are you?
I'm really good, actually. Kind of. So the first question I wanted to ask you, yeah, I ask it almost every week. It's one of my stock standard questions. Tell me a bit about your personal history, especially in regards to metal. Like, why did you start liking metal? Was there a moment? What was the moment that you first heard metal?
Well, the seminal moment for me when I first heard and fell in love with heavy, like, well, guitar-orientated sort of rock and roll type music was in grade four when I turned up at a school dance we had. I would have been about 8 years old. And I walked through the doors and what hit me coming out of the stereo was Nothing But a Good Time by Poison. And when I first heard that fucking first riff from that song, I was sold from that point forward. I went out and bought, went to the local music shop. I grew up in the country, so, you know, we're pretty limited to what we had access to, but they didn't have Poison's album. They just had a smash hits 88 type tape. But I ended up getting the album pretty soon after that, and you know, that was it for me. I was obsessed with them, and then obviously got into the bands around the time, like Guns N' Roses and Motley Crue and all that type of stuff. That was essentially what was on TV back then, and that's all there was, you know. They were on the getting into the top 10 with music like that back then, and that's what I was exposed to first. But as I got older, I started to be drawn more to the heavier material from those types of bands, which led me to then getting into stuff like, another pivotal point was probably around about mid-91 when the Black Album came out from Metallica. That was a massive record back then, and so was AC/DC's the Razor's Edge album. That was big at the time, and so those two records sort of got me into more heavier and nastier shit, and I was just obsessed. But within about 2 years, I was listening to extreme grindcore and, you know, real brutal death metal. So it escalated pretty quickly. And by the time I got to about 15, I was obsessed with all that type of stuff. So, and I guess I've been playing music since I was 14 years old. Been playing in bands since then. So I'm going on about 21 years now. And, been in a few bands in that time. First band I was in was a band called Repugnance, which I played in with my brother, and who's Ando McDougall, who's the bass player in Dreadnought. Him and I and a couple of my mates from school started that band. We're in about year nine, and we were together for about 10 years. We actually played around, this was in high school, so this is our high school band, and probably, yeah, from about year 9 until year 12, we played around the traps down home. I come from Lakes Entrance, which is about 3.5 hours east of Melbourne on the coast. And we played there, and then as soon as we could, we all moved to Melbourne because we just wanted to be where the action was, and played down in Melbourne for a few years before, you know, things sort of deteriorated and we sort of went our separate ways and all sort of joined other bands. And my brother and I played together in another band called Block, which probably was around for about 5 or 6 years. And then that sort of all collapsed as well. And I wasn't doing much at all for a couple of years. And then I've always been mates with Azza and the Frankenbach Dudes. They were one of the bands that Repugnance, when they first moved to Melbourne, did their first shows with at the Art House and stuff like that. So I've always been good mates with those guys. And just caught up with Azza. I hadn't seen him in ages and asked him how the band was going. And he said it was a bit rough. They were having some dramas. They've been trying to get their album out and, just having issues with a few things. And predominantly their vocalist at the time made the decision to move away from Melbourne back home, about three hours west of Melbourne, which caused a bit of a problem because he wasn't able to make rehearsal as often as he thought he would as well.
Yeah.
And they were sort of running without a singer for a while. And, well, I mean, as we were drinking and just said, you know, I just sort of jokingly said, I'll fucking come in and have a crack, man, just for a laugh. And we left it at that, and he called me the next day in the morning and said, you know, were you serious or what? And I said, well, yeah, I'll come and have a go. So I did, and we jammed together, and there was they were actually without a guitarist at the time, so it was just four of us, and we just hit it off from the word go. It was fucking great. It was, you know, for someone who, for me, who hadn't been in a band, proper band, for about 2 years, to just walk straight into a room and have this fucking fully functioning weapon of a band to do my thing to was just great. And so, yeah, that's it. And, Yeti joined not much long after me, probably a couple of months after me. He joined the band as well. And a similar deal for him, you know, just come in and it clicked. We tried a couple other guys beforehand who were good mates, but they just kind of didn't fit the mold. But Yeti being Yeti, fit in pretty well. So, you know, I mean, I'll be honest, man, it's, you know, in this game, because we've been around for so long and all the rest of it, you know, Frankenbach could have gone and found themselves a better vocalist, like someone who's actually got greater skill than myself. And same with Yeti. Look, me and him and most of the band, I'll be honest, are just fucking, we're just blue-collar dudes, man. You know, we play these instruments. We're not fucking wizards at it. We just have a crack. But the one thing that we do have is determination and just, you know, just working hard and getting better and better at what we're good at. And me and Yeti fit into that mold as well. We're not the fucking greatest at what we do, but it's there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
You know, you know, especially after 20 years, man, of doing this shit. Anyone out there who's listening to this who's in a band knows how fucking hard it is to maintain five dudes or four dudes or whoever, and to keep that thing going and, you know, for everything to be working, it's a real difficult thing. And the hardest thing is getting people that work well together, yeah, you know, and what they do. And so that's the one thing that we have that we're very, very fortunate that we've got that, you know, and we never try to lose sight of that at the end of the day. When there's problems or shit come up, at the end of the day, that's the one thing that binds us together, to actually get together and be asked to fucking come to rehearsal and to feel like there's a need to do it, especially after this long, because, you know, we're by no means slowing down and by no means less determined to make something of our music, but, you know, we're not 20 anymore. We've got to look at things in a different way and do things differently, man. We've got families, we've got fucking jobs, because we don't make any money out of this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do it purely for the love of it, man. And you know, some of us geared our lives that way, man. Everything I've ever done has always had, it has to fit in with what I'm going to do with my music. And, you know, I'm nearly 36 years old and fucking still as hungry as I was when I was 20, probably even more so now. And the beauty of it now is that I've got 20 years of experience behind me. So that's essentially bringing things up to this point, man, where Frankenbach is sort of headed. We're writing a new album right now, and spent the last sort of 9 months writing and recording, and now we're sort of really into the pre-production stage. We're onto our second lot of demos. We're probably going to do another one or two more demos before we actually go in and record. Just something we've never done before. We've always just fucking gone in and had a crack, and it's never really worked out the way we wanted to. So this time we're doing that, and you know, it's taken a lot of work, man. You know, and we're very happy with where it's going, and yeah, very very much focused on what we're going to do once we've got some new material.
Awesome.
And you know, we want to get out of here. We want to get out. We want to go play some other places. We've played Australia a lot, and we love it here. And we by no means want to stop playing here. But you know, I think we've earned our stripes a little bit.
Yeah.
About you know, maybe getting overseas. I may well be wrong, but the proof will be in the pudding. I'm confident that we're going to have a product. This next album will be good enough that, you know, it will prick up the ears of people overseas. So, you know, anyway, so there you go, dude.
The End of All, you know, I thought that album was one of the best metal albums to come out of this country in years. Like, that album, it's still
in my
CD player in my car. Like, whenever I drive, that's all I listen to.
Wow. Well, thanks, man. That means a lot. You lose sort of track of times like that. Like, I guess now that we're in this recording period, I do think back a little bit to what we were doing then and how we did it. And it's there, but you move on. So, you know, I haven't listened to that album since pretty much we got the masters back, because I'd heard it that many fucking times before that. But once it's mastered and it sounds good, it's like, cool, I don't have to fucking listen to that anymore, you know? But, yeah, you know. But I have heard a lot of people say that in our travels, people that come to our shows that really enjoy that record. And that does mean a lot, because we did put a lot of work into that record, you know? The amount of shit I had to go through to get that album cover done for a start, man. You know, that was a full-on experience in itself.
Yeah, I was going to say, even the artwork is epic.
It was, man. I had an insane vision, and that was something similar to that cover. But I had a friend of mine who I've known since we were kids, who's a phenomenal artist, but a complete, you know, he's a pretty insane dude, but I thought he was perfect for the job, and he was. The end result was exactly what I was after from him, man. But for him to actually pull that off, and it took him about a year and a half to do it from start to finish, because he's got bipolar disorder and Crohn's disease and a couple other things that you know, really inhibit his genius, and I believe that he is a genius, and it's a real shame, it's fucking sad, you know, that these things get in the way of some people's art. And he was somebody that I wanted to work with, because I wanted to get his art out there, and I think we achieved that in the end. But it was a massively hard journey for him and for me and our friendship and all that, but the proof's in the pudding, and the covers, you know, it's what I was after. And, you know, and we'll just leave it at that, I guess. It's, yeah. We're not really sure what we're going to do with our next album yet. That stuff's all still sort of up in the air, but we'll see.
So, do you play any other instruments, or do you only do the vocals? Do you know how to play any other instruments?
I play guitar. Not great, but I've dabbled and tinkered with it since I started playing music. But I kind of learnt with my brother, but I never took it on seriously at all. But in the last sort of 6 months, I've started playing it a lot more and starting to actually jam again with my brother and Azza and another friend of mine who used to be in Block as well. We've just been jamming together for the last 6 months, and we've got no vocals at the moment. It's just instrumental, and it's fucking cool. It's not metal. It's more sort of rock and even sort of 70s inspired sort of rock, old school Sabbath type shit. Bit of funk. It's real stripped back stuff, and it's a really good outlet for all of us, because we all turn up here and, you know, get comfortable however we want to get comfortable before we play, and then get in there and have a fucking crack and just jam. And it's a really good outlet to have that, you know, no strings attached, no pressure. So yeah, it's been good, man. So yeah, I'm enjoying playing the guitar. I get up on stage with the Bach, and usually I've been doing it when we do fucking cunts at the end of the night. Just I'll swap with Yeti, and he jumps around like a fucking clown while I play some guitar. But I'm really looking forward to actually getting this other jam sort of thing happening and being able to play gigs and play guitar instead of vocals, because it's a whole different experience.
Yeah,
and it's a lot more enjoyable. I'll say that much. You know, it's not that easy to get up on stage for 45 minutes and scream at the top of your lungs at people. You know, yeah. It's a pretty fucking insane thing to do when you think about it. So, you know, just being able to get up and actually just play guitar and go, yeah, it's fucking cool. Would be nice once in a while. So.
How do you still find things to write lyrics about? Like, do you use experiences from everyday life, or do you use your past, like a lot of singers would do? Like, how do you still find the motivation to write lyrics?
Good question. You just got to take a look around you, man. The current situation in the world today is fucking a mess, you know. Well, that's the impression that's been given at any rate. But, you know, you look back through history, and these things come in cycles, and nothing that's happening today hasn't happened a million times before. And there's a lot of subject matter out there for songwriting. But on that, on a personal level, I've kind of never felt the need to be personal with my lyrics, but that's changing now most definitely, and some of the new materials most definitely about certain things that have happened to me in the last couple of years. So yeah, there's been a lot of stuff that's happened in my personal life that over the last couple of years that has given me plenty to write about, and experiences that I know the people that listen to Frank and Bach and listen to our music have experienced themselves. And you know, I think that kind of lyric writing is where I want to head, because I think that the one thing that Frank and Bach sort of is a very genuine band, and the same experiences that we have in our personal lives are the same ones that anybody else has, man. You know, and yeah, that's where a bit of the focus is going to be on this next record, because I've sort of come through some stuff, you know, and I've come out the other end, and I'm much, much better off for it. And that took a bit of discipline and changing some things around in my life. One thing predominantly, and that's quit drinking. I stopped drinking about About 7 months ago, and that one thing fixed so many problems in my life. And and I'm not the only one. I know there are a few people that have that experience, and it's great. And yeah. It's basically from this point forward, I guess everything I do, I want to be a reflection of that, that this is what you can do when you can turn your life around, man. And so there you go, man. It's kind of pretty personal, but fuck it, I got nothing to lose, man. And if my experiences can help other people, then so be it.
Yeah. Well, one of the guests I've had previously on the show, Matt Young from King Parrot, he's the same. He turned his life around when he quit drinking and doing drugs and stuff like that. And
that's right, dude.
I'm the same. Like, when I quit drinking, I started doing this podcast, and now I have roughly 800 listeners every week. And before, I was literally drinking myself into a hole, like waking up in my bedroom and having covered my bed in vomit and didn't know how I got there and things like that. And I was just sick of it. I was turning into an arsehole when I drank, and so I quit and turned everything around pretty much. Now I have a wife and a daughter. If you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean, dude. if I was to explain my own situation, I'd essentially be saying exactly what you just said then. And similar situation, man. It got to the point where I was after a show up in Newcastle about 6 months ago. I hadn't been drinking for about 2 weeks, and then temptation got the better of me before we went on stage, and I had a couple of beers, and then had some more on stage and killed it. Had a phenomenal show. It's feeling really good, but when you drink and then you get up on stage, you get drunk really quick because of the energy and the amount of sweat and everything. You're dehydrating yourself. You become drunk real quick. So if you've drunk, say, 3 or 4 beers, you've actually drunk 8 by the time you get off stage. So, I was starting to get pretty drunk. And then after the gig, we went upstairs, and the last thing I remember is someone pouring pouring some spirits into a glass, and that was it. And you don't want to know the rest. Yeah. But the band pulled me up and said, dude, if you don't stop, if you do this one more time, you're not in the band anymore. Yeah. So that's not something easy to hear. Yeah. And not something easy for bandmates to do either. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. That is something that will hang over me now.
Yeah.
Because we were just talking about this just before, me and Azza. It was about, that I don't want them to ever say, relax that. It's like, if you do that again, man, you're out. And I have to listen to that in my head all the time. And the end result is huge. And I've got more fire in my belly than I've had in the last 10, 15 years precisely because of that. So for you to say that's happened to you is awesome as well. And that's kind of all I really want to say about it, because, look, I don't want to get preachy about it at all. At all.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to talk about these things, man. People don't talk about this stuff enough, especially within the metal scene. We just done a couple of fundraising shows for down in Melbourne for a group called YSAS, who are they're an organization that help homeless people and especially young youth, teenagers or whatever, who are really hard on their luck, drug abused or family abused, whatever. They help them out with programs with music and art, and they can offer. These troubled kids to get in, have a crack, play some instruments, learn how to play instruments, all that kind of stuff, And it's to us, especially a lot of my peers, that I talk to, bands and people that that have had it pretty hard, man, because a lot of people in metal have had it pretty fucking hard in their life. That's why they draw. And, you know, a lot of their stories are like, fuck, man, if something like that had been around when I was a teenager, you know, that would have been great. So we did these fundraisers for it. We did, like, karaoke nights where we got a bunch of bands from Melbourne, rock, metal and punk bands, to get up and do karaoke and sing real cheesy shit and just make dickheads of themselves and try and raise some cash. And they've been very successful, man, you know. And that sort of shit, you know, you got to do that, man. You just got to do it. It's not only is it something that's rewarding in terms of bringing the scene together and showing just how how great a community the metal scene is, because I genuinely think that a lot of other communities and people and groups could learn a lot from the way metalheads are with each other. You know, we get such a fucking bad rap, and we do it to ourselves, man. What do you expect when we're dressed like we do and all the rest of it? But that's the way we like it. But, you know, I genuinely think a lot of people could learn a lot from our fraternity and the way that we conduct ourselves, man. You know, it's the real deal. It's genuine. That's primarily what draws me to it more than anything, is that kind of community. Every community's got its problems and issues, but deep down, that's the essence of it, and that's why I've loved being a part of it for the last 20 years.
Yeah. One debate I've heard recently, back to the way metalheads look and the way they're dressed and everything. I used to have really long hair and facial hair. I shaved them both for charity last year. And someone said to me, how's it feel not being metal anymore? And I turned around and gone, I'm probably a bigger metalhead than you, even though I'm clean shaven. I'm still probably a bigger metalhead than you, dickhead. But anyway, because I felt offended when he said that to me. But I wanted to ask you, do you need a beard or long hair to be metal?
Fuck no. Oh, holy shit, no, man. And, all right, well, for a start, you've just isolated fucking 50% of the audience right there. What about the women and the girls? Come on. No. No way. You know, that's the beauty of metal. I love it when you go to shows and metal shows. Especially, say, fucking Cannibal Corpse or something. It's brutal as fuck. And, you know, to the average person to walk into an environment like that, it'd be holy shit. And then you see dudes who turn up and they're metalheads, man. They go to work. They've got to work in a fucking office job, and they've got to have their hair cut and everything else and wear a goddamn suit and all that shit. You just got to do what you got to do. But, you know, they'll come to shows and they'll still be wearing that shit. And who gives a fuck what you're wearing, man? If you're there to watch that band, no one goes there unless they really want to be there. You know, you don't just walk into a fucking Cannibal Corpse show and go, oh, it's pretty good, you know, and just check it out, it's coming in for a beer, you know. You're actually there because you fucking love it, and that's what I love. It's very inclusive, man. It's a, you know, it doesn't matter what you look like, man. You know, fuck that. I mean, look, you know, it's not, look, I like dressing the way I do. I like having a beard. It suits me, you know. My wife would kill me if I cut it off, because, you know, she loves it, you know. It's just, but, you know, and I like looking the way I do, and fucking fuck you if you don't like it, you know. Yeah. It's all there is to it, and I think, you know, most people have that attitude. I respect that 100%, no matter who you are and how you look, you know. That's your choice. You own that shit. So, you know, yeah. That's my response to your question.
Because, yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. Whether you're clean-shaven, short hair like me, and I'm growing my long hair back, or whether you've got a beard and bald head like Ben Weaver, for example, or whether you got ultra-long hair and no beard like lead singer of Cannibal Corpse, you all round, we're all still metalheads. So, yeah,
that's my point of view. Appearance is nothing. It's true, man. What do you want everyone to look the fucking same for, man? I mean, you know, it is hard to there's a certain identity and a certain thing and kind of like a uniform that metalheads have, but fuck, man, one of the beautiful things about metal when it's has this genuineness to it is the evolution of it, the constant striving for better and greater and for change. for new ideas. It's what draws me to it as well, because to me that's a general philosophy that should be utilized in life in general. It's essentially similar to the way the scientific method works, you know, for me, and that to me is a fine example of how people should do things, and music is definitely a science in that regard.
So, Dan, I wanted to ask you, I've noticed on Facebook, you and your brother have been showing this around quite a bit, but what is OpenHD?
Okay, OpenHD is a new company that started up. They're about to launch in October, and essentially they're creating a new platform, a new sort of social platform. But the primary thing that they're selling now is digital, high definition digital audio. So it's basically it's like hearing music straight off the masters, but in a digital format. So it's superior to CD and superior to not the standard digital MP3s that you're getting from iTunes and stuff like now, like that. The technology itself's been around for a while, but they've never really been able to create a platform for it to be available to sort of everybody on a mass market type situation. So that's what these guys have created, and it's pretty exciting. Everyone that they're talking to is jumping on board with this. It's sort of something that from a layman's perspective, like me, I'm looking at everything I'm being told and going, this is going to be fantastic for artists in general. That it's going to be a new superior quality product that bands are going to have greater control over, being able to sell their music again. And also the way that OpenHD is set up, primarily because it's set up by musicians and people that have worked in the music industry for a very long time. They're not dudes that are sitting boards of directors of guys that are just investing in a company because it's going to make money. The guys that have actually set this up are very, very passionate individuals who have worked in so many different sectors of the music community. Whether it be behind the scenes, working in instrument retail to live performances, to working within the record industry itself, all of these people have all sort of coming together to work in this project. For me, being an insider, I guess that's all I can really explain. If anyone's listening and wants to hear more about it, I'd say look them up on the internet, just OpenHD. They do have a website up, and at the beginning of October is when they're going to start launching everything. So, so by then there'll be a lot more information about it. So, yeah, check it out. But from my perspective, or where I can see, you know, the people that are getting involved with this, it's just like, wow, this is going to be interesting, yeah. You know. I'm curious to see where it goes, but my way of explaining it's not that great, man. So my advice would be to just look them up on the internet. They do have a site, and there's a lot of information that they've got out there. Look them up on Facebook. They're starting to, you know, have a lot more information out there. Bands can sign up quite easily. They just fill out a form and they're ready to go. And so for us, for Frank and Bock, you know, we're going to be concentrating a lot on having our music run through this site. It's going to open up a lot of opportunities for us to be a little bit more experimental in the way that we release our music, especially if we head it sort of towards more digital content with certain things we do. We're basically working on setting up a proper recording studio for us to record our own stuff. We're halfway there. We've got our own rehearsal space and recording equipment in there, but it's not at a caliber yet where we can record our albums and stuff like that. But once we do that, then we're open to a whole different amount of possibilities for us when it comes to releasing music. It doesn't just have to be an album, you know?
Yeah.
It can be, we can release song at a time, you know, and just put them up every now and again, you know. We're just dabbling with different ideas, you know. Once we've got another record out, we definitely want to do one more album at least. You know, we may continue doing records, but you know, the way things have changed so much in the last few years, you know, you can really think outside the square if you want to. You know, when it comes to releasing your music, and I'm all for being that creative element and thinking of new ways of doing it. That creative element's what I love about being in a band, you know. So
yeah. So would the new place, would that be Fair Dinkum Records, or would that be a new entity on its own?
Sorry, say that again, mate.
The new new place that you're setting up with all the recording gear and everything, would that be Fair Dinkum Records, or would that be a new entity under Frank Abbott?
No, that'll be purely the record label. Yeah. Right. Speaking of that, I'm looking to, well, to start with, trying to back away from actually signing bands, individual bands per se, and looking at other ways that I can create different content and more collaborative content with bands that I want to work with. And the main objective of what I'm trying to do is to promote Aussie bands and the Aussie metal scene to the international audience. That's what I'm concentrating a lot of my efforts on from this point forward, because I think we're sitting in such a really good position right now. The scene itself and the caliber of bands that are now coming out of Australia is just phenomenal. And it's, I think there's just a couple of things lacking in terms of, you know, us really becoming a powerful force. And I think I've spoken to a few bands in the last sort of month and a half about my plans, and everybody seems pretty keen, you know, that a bit more collaboration and a bit more working together is gonna, you know, it's obviously gonna have its benefits. You know, so many bands, especially sort of that have been around as long as us, have a lot of good contacts, man, you know, a lot of good and access and skills themselves, you know, that we've all had to acquire through years of DIY. You know, we all had to do it ourselves since day dot, you know. Yeah. You know, I just finished putting together our new electronic press kit, LEPK, that spent the last 2 days putting together. And thinking back, man, I was doing that when I was 15, making my first bio for my band. And I was using a photocopier and cutwork texters and photocopying and putting them together. And this is predated, this is how old this is, dude. This predated the scanner. Predated digital photos, man. You know, when I first got a scanned copy of my band logo, I was like, oh my god, I can put this on any, I can make this any size I want and put it on any piece of document. And then Photoshop came out, and then fucking see you later. That's all I did, was just do shit for my band, and nothing's changed, man. I'm still doing the same thing because I love it. I love doing that stuff, you know. Yeah. We have in the past gotten people to do stuff for us, and you know, it still feels so much better when you're in control of your art and it's done how you want it done. I just love that part about it, you know.
So Dan, we're gonna have to end the first interview now, the first part of this interview, but every week I end every interview with the same question. It's a multiple choice question. It's a bit of a fun one compared to the others. But you get to pick one. A, you ask me a question. B, you B asked a really strange or weird question by me. Or C, give me the quote of the week for next week's show. So you get to pick one of them.
Oh, Jesus. I'll probably go with B, mate.
Okay. This, I want to point out that I never prepare for this question until like a minute before I ask it. And this is the very first time that I've ever been prepared. Like, it's actually in my notes, ready to go. Dan, do you prefer cooked or raw Maggi 2-minute noodles, and which flavor?
Okay. When I did eat them, I haven't had them for a very long time. I always preferred them cooked, most definitely, and beef flavour. Yeah, they were kind of my favourites. I can deal with fake beef flavour. Chicken stuff's a bit rough. It tastes nothing like chicken. But yeah, beef 2 minute noodles definitely cooked. Not too much though, man. They gotta have a little bit of hardness about them. But how did you put your beef stock stuff on? Did you like pour it on over the top of the before it goes in, or did you put it in with the water, or afterwards did you stir it in?
Afterwards, I poured it on the top and then stirred it up.
Yeah, it's like a bit of butter flavor right there
as well to melt through it.
Yeah,
yeah. I thought that was the best way to do it.
Good shit, man.
I try to keep that question totally not metal and totally out there and strange and out of
No worries, man.
So, this has been part one of the interview with Dan McDougall from Frankenbach. Next week, he'll be back on the show for part two. We'll stay on the line and record part two now. Thanks for being on the show, Dan.
Pleasure, dude. Thanks for having me.
You're all right, mate. Please hang up and try
again. So that was part one of the interview with Dan McDougall of Frankenbach. He'll be back next week for part two. It's a very in-depth interview. I didn't even get through half my questions. But that wasn't a bad thing. That was a good thing. We had a good conversation. That being said, I want to talk about something that we talked about off air, and we bring it up a little bit next week because the interview has already been recorded. But we talk about King Parrot and how they're destroying the US. They've already killed it over here, and I mean that in a very, very, very good way. Over there, they've caught the eye of one man. His name is Philip Anselmo. And King Parrot look like... Oh, not look like. King Parrot are going out on tour with Down. And I cannot believe this. They joined them on stage at Soundwave this year. And played a few songs with... or a song with Down on stage. They're playing Phil's, what is it? Horror House of Hardcore, or whatever it is. Horror House, whatever he's fest on Halloween in America, in New Orleans. And then from there, they're playing with Down on tour. That is amazing. Well done to all the boys in King Paris. Another thing I want to talk about is a newish Australian publication, and they've been big supporters of the Full Metal Lockdown podcast since it started, and I've been a big supporter of theirs since they started. Tranquil Magazine. The very first issue had Dreadnought on the cover. Then, like, everybody was like, oh, okay, they're going to be about Australia, for Australia. Boom, second issue, Guar. And they've had Vanishing Point on the cover. We've shared, actually, a few of their main articles. We've shared guests. But that being said, their website is trendkill.com. Or, no, killthetrend.com. If not, just Google Tranquil Magazine. They're an online free magazine. And yeah, check them out. They've got some great articles. They're a huge supporter of local Australian talent. They've got, even as far as that heavy metal radio shows, they're a huge supporter of that. They're a huge supporter of everything, and they need support. So, just go there and, you can subscribe to the magazine for free. Like I said, they just send you an email link. You go onto their website and you can download the magazine in PDF form. And it's there for you to read at your leisure without the pages getting destroyed or anything. So go check out Tranquil Magazine. They're on Facebook. Search them on Facebook. Search them on Google. You'll find them. And yeah, like I said, check them out. That's the end of the show. Next week we have Dan McDougall. We're going to talk a bit more about different stuff. His involvement in a few things. We're going to kick it off nice and good next week. Is that the way I should put it? Anyway, on behalf of Chris Bochenko, unleash the penguins.